Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
What's up, you filthy bastards, and welcome to the Thanks for Trying podcast, episode 4. You know what it is. I am Corian, aka The Last Skeptic. Got a wonderful fucking episode for you for this week. Recorded in Los Angeles with singer, writer, just all-round legend, Bipolar Sunshine. You might have heard on the DJ Snake single last year. He's been on tons of shit, man. Just look him up if you haven't already. His music is ridiculous. And Kian Johnson, who, you know, I'm gassed to get Kian on the show. He is about to star in the upcoming Robert Rodriguez, James Cameron film, Alita Battle Angel, which when we recorded this episode, it was like June, July in 2018. So the film at that point we thought was coming out in December. It's just been pushed back a little bit to February. But I'm mad fucking excited for it to drop. He's now alongside Christoph Waltz, friend of the show, Ed Skrein. There's a bunch of incredible people in that film. So make sure you go watch the trailer for that now. Don't forget, as always, I'm going to say it every damn episode. Subscribe. Tell your friends to subscribe. Go to the iTunes, whatever. Write a review. Say what's up. Hit me on Twitter. And enjoy the fucking episode.
Do the whole podcast on a metronome.
Yeah, that's it.
That'd probably be quite rigid, yeah, in fact. Very
rigid. Deliciously rigid. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Thanks for Trying podcast, episode 4 of season 2. Oh my God, this is exciting. And the second episode that I've recorded from Beverly Hills. It just feels so good to say that. I don't even know why. It's just so wanky. Beverly Hills. With my very, very special guests, Kian Johnson and Bipolar Sunshine.
Zip, zip.
Shit. Zip, zip, zip. First things first, Kian, how's it going, man?
Great.
You've been filming like nonstop. I've been trying to get you on the podcast.
I know.
For
like
so
nonstop
long.
Since I met you.
Yeah, that's a please, yeah. Please. Because you came to a podcast. You came to the recording.
I came to the recording. I did. I was shooting Alita Battle Angel with Ed Skrein in
silent partner of the podcast.
Yes, in Austin, Texas.
Yes.
And I had a month off from shooting, and Ed said, if you're in London, because I wanted to go traveling, I didn't want to go back to LA. And he said, if you're down to come and hang out, he's like, let's do something. And then that was when you were doing your podcast.
Perfect.
So it was sad. And it was, Ed and Doc Brown.
Yeah.
That was a good episode.
It was very, very boozy, that episode.
Yeah, that
for subscribers of the show. Oh, God. Some things were said. Some things were broken. You know, actually, that night, I chipped my tooth.
No way.
Because on stage, I was so wasted. I'm like, Doc wanted a beer open, and I thought, you know what, I'll just do it with my teeth. Yeah, I just literally crack in half.
Wow.
I know. I literally pulled out a shard of my tooth and carried on. Alita is finished?
Alita is done. Yeah. Just as well, acting wise, is done.
Okay.
But, you know, they've obviously got all of their, it's very heavily visual effects.
Yeah.
So that's all just, you know, that's what they've been spending all their time on, just getting it as perfect as they possibly can until December 21st.
December 21st.
Yeah.
It is the feel-good Christmas film of the year.
Yeah, right?
Whoa.
Yeah, the badass feel-good Christmas film.
Wow. And how I'm guessing it feels amazing to have this coming out and just to be done with it.
Yeah, it was my first film I ever did, and I'm just so ready to see how it turned out. It was just such a spectacle. Like, yeah. It was just the amount of the biggest team on any movie I've ever been on, yeah. And just getting to work with all, like, you know, Ed and Christoph and all these really incredible actors.
Christoph Waltz, cool. Like, first name basis, just upsets me.
It's just Christoph is Christoph Waltz is incredible.
I don't know if you've heard of him or not. You know, may not. So you mentioned this is your first feature.
That was my first.
That
feature.
Was your first feature. Mm-hmm. You've come from TV background, mm-hmm. right? So Nashville, I understand.
Nashville, okay. Yeah, it was kind of like my first TV job, mm-hmm. and I was always fascinated in film and always wanted to be a part of it in some way. And I auditioned for Robert's film for a year almost, and somehow got it, and kind of was able to get me to launch off and do a bunch of different other things, which is awesome.
Wow.
Yeah, really cool.
Really, really exciting. Yeah, I'm just really excited for you. I'm excited to see the film, mostly because I get to see Ed's head attached to a robot body.
Yes.
That's going to be a bit ridiculous.
And he was badass too. Like everyone has like their really like interesting kind of like badass qualities that they have in the film.
So Adeo, Bipolar Sunshine, just a tiny, tiniest brief history. I first met you pretty much a week before we did a show. It was still the biggest show I've ever done in my life. 70,000 people.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Budapest.
That was crazy. It was a bit of a mad one.
It was ridiculous. And this was when you were part of crew Kid British.
Yeah, I was part of Kid British. Yeah. That was like first tryouts music, I'd say.
Because that was like, Kid British was a very kind of different vibe, I'd say.
Oh yeah, 100%. I think it was a vibe that we like stumbled upon.
Yeah.
And then somehow people started to latch onto it without us really defining what we were actually doing. But at the time it was just like, yeah, this is great with my friends. We're just making some music we want to make. Yeah. And putting it out.
Manchester influenced.
Yeah, like doing a lot of things even when I think about it now, like doing a lot of things Manchester wise, like getting to support the Stone Roses when they come back, like these are things that, you know, people dream of sharing the stage with and having those opportunities, going on tour with the Specials, UB40, just putting zoots with them. Yeah. That was sick.
Damn.
Like they were like my first like introductions to what it could be.
Yeah. And so you, from there, conversely to now, where the music you're making, how would you describe the music you're making right now? Like what kind of, would you fit into a genre? Because I feel like you span a lot of different genres.
I feel like it spans from so many different genres. And it's like, for instance, if you have like the tail end of electronic music, the tail end of R&B, tail end of indie, tail end of hip hop. And in that area, I class it as like a grey area. So we don't really define it as a certain genre per se, but I'd rather just say it's like the style is great. It touches on many different formats and different genres and styles, but it can take from so many different things to form its own. There's a few people in Manchester who like go forward with that style and think, you know, I'm not conforming to one particular thing. But I only feel that conforming styles is just for businesses and labels to be able to, and playlists to be able to say, oh, this song sounds like hip hop, or this song sounds like R&B. But there's so many influences that you'll be able to hear within the music, but it's always like my own vision on top of it. Mm-hmm. And now the way that we're digesting it is just like, it's out of this world, man. Remember back in the day when you could like, go to a different place and then be able to go back to where you're from and then tell everyone that, yo, have you heard about this? Now it's just like...
There is none of that.
That level of wherever it was is not here.
Like, I used to have to wait for my best mate in school to go to visit his cousin in Baltimore to bring back the Machiavelli bootlegs so I could hear what was going on. Wow. Between that and like the bootleg, like Slim Shady first album on tape and like whatever it was, I'd be like, whoa, shit, man, fuck. This has happened. Wow. There's different, like, you know, even just to, you know, the region-specific musics. I mean,
it doesn't exist anymore.
No, the only region-specific music that has not translated and no one's picked up on is go-go.
What's go-go?
Go-go is a DC and Baltimore-specific type of dance music and is so huge. Yeah, and it's huge.
Is it a bit like Jersey? What's it called? Jersey something.
Is there, you mean modern, like 2018 go-go?
It's been like... Yeah, I mean, I imagine they're still making it.
Wow.
I think so. Yeah, no, I don't want to speak on it. I'm not an expert. All I know is that only people in that scene. Area. Yeah, there's just a huge go-go scene. And people love it.
That's but cool. It sounds fast.
Yeah, it just sounds
whatever it is, it sounds really fast. And I don't know if I can dance to it.
God, we were just before you came, we were talking about that new Drake's song and how it's just taken over the entire universe. Yeah. Have you heard the new album?
Yeah, I've heard it. It's kind of like everything he kind of makes kind of takes over every single... Because I think now when people have such a... You know, everyone's in their car on Instagram... Mm-hmm. It's not just now the radio. It's now every story you look at or every person is playing their song. Smart. You know, so it's
if you can get 1,000 people or more just replaying your song via Snapchat, that's just like
great.
That's what you want.
So it's all just brand building.
Nonsense. We've turned to brands. We've all turned to becoming a brand within ourselves. That's what,
do you get that pressure from your label or because you're on a major, aren't you?
No, you're not. I'm signed to myself.
Amazing, perfect.
So everything that's kind of happened to me in the last 3 years, three and a half years, has all just been off my own label. So I've been I'm happy about that situation.
Yeah, so much freedom. It's crazy.
I feel like there's so much freedom, but there's also there's good things to happen at labels. I think labels get like mad stick, like, yo, it's all bad and label. I'm like, no, it's not. It's just like, it just depends on who you're working with.
I mean, I've definitely been known to go off about A&Rs on this podcast a lot. That's like my go-to thing. But what's the equivalent in the movie world? Because I'm guessing you have a lot of pressures.
Like agents?
Yeah.
Agents
Are people pressuring you to be a certain way or like have a... I don't know, have a presence in a certain way online.
Yeah, well, as far as social media and stuff like that, it's tough because I'm not very well versed in the whole social media world.
Right.
And if I ever want to post stuff, it's something that comes from me artistically and not so. I haven't had to do any crazy press for the film. Mm. But yeah, it'll be interesting to kind of see how I'll want to try to stay as true to myself and not, you know, quote, sell out as...
Because you're going to get so bored by it.
I went to South by Southwest.
Yeah.
And they had this huge party for Alita.
Right, they built a whole part of the set, right?
Yeah, they the whole set is self-standing. It'll be there forever. But they put lights and food trucks and have like an opening 700, 800 people party. Wow. And that was really cool. But before that, we went into a room and spent... like 3 hours just sitting in the same chairs doing interviews, and each interviewee only had 5-10 minutes to do an interview. Like, no joke, 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
They'd go in and people would be like 5 minutes, they'd hold cards out. And I'm looking around being like, gosh, I'm nervous, but this guy has to ask a question that people are going to want to click on, knowing that there's 50 people in line going to ask questions. So that was really eye-opening for me to see just like how... aggressive and how competitive the interview world is. Yeah. You know, not many times people get, and I think this is why this is so cool. You just get to sit down and have a chat for like, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, and it's and it's super chill. But like, you know, that I've never felt so, because you also know that you're on their time at that point, so you don't want to mess up on a question and then have to do it again because they're like, I only have 5 minutes with you.
So you're obviously thinking of it in a very kind way, like you're thinking about them.
Yeah,
but you know, I don't think a lot of journalists, I mean, some do. I know a lot of wonderful journalists, you know, a lot of film journalists that do ask the right questions, but some of them, everyone feels like they're entitled to your time. They feel like they're entitled to you being the best possible, most PR friendly person. And so while you're thinking about, you know, lots of actors I know do the same thing, just think about, I want to make sure that they get the best out of this. Mm-hmm. Have you ever found journalists that don't think of in your best interest in return?
There's obviously bad journalists. I haven't done a lot of interviews so far. I mean, I'm sure I'll start this year and I'm sure I'll meet a handful. Yeah. But so far I haven't had any crazy issues. I mean, when I was younger, I remember one time being on a carpet. I think I was like 14 or 15 years old, and it was one of my first carpets. And this woman comes up to me, and I think she's going to ask me about the show that I was on.
What was the show?
Nashville at the time.
Nashville, yeah.
And she said, what's your go-to pickup line?
Oh, come on.
Which I'm like, oh, I don't know. But I was so young that I thought you had to answer the question. So yeah. I made up some stupid pickup line on the spot.
That will haunt you.
So those are some questions. Yeah. Like, I hope no one ever finds that.
Everyone's going to be searching for it now. Yeah. Like.
Yeah. Whoa. So,
but yeah, it's like sometimes, you know, they want to ask questions that you aren't normally asked, mm-hmm. but it's in a way that has nothing to do with anything that you're trying to, you know, publicize. These past few years have kind of been like the age of being so accessible to different artists and different entities of, you know, anyone who's slightly famous. So. Yeah. And most people give that up so easily. They will answer all these questions and they'll take their cameras into their house and show you their kind of like their most private area. So I think that people start to just more and more think that they have such a
true.
It's crazy now where you can just comment on anyone's page and there's a chance that they might see it. And I think that's respond. What and that's that yeah, and people do respond and then people are in their room going live on I've never gone live or anything like that. I think it's interesting. I think if it's done right, it can be really great. But all these people are giving just so much of themselves,
so much away.
And it becomes such a job on that, because once you say, "Oh, I'm a person that is tweeting 700 times a day," if you stop doing that, people are like,
how much do you think this has taken away from the artist mystique, and how much do you think that affects affects artistry in general? Like, do you think it affects it? Do you think does it stop you from liking somebody's music or their film?
I think sometimes you can really like a character or someone, and then you maybe go and check them out on socially. Mm. It does kill the mystique.
Yeah.
But we're living, like you're saying, like, we're living in the day and age whereby, like, there is no, the word mystique isn't here anymore.
It doesn't exist.
Like, there's no level of, like, oh my God, there's Marilyn Monroe, and we all start running across the street and everyone gets excited. Like, this doesn't, we're not in that day and age anymore.
Because you kind of get it from the older stars. Yeah. So, like, I feel like Angelina Jolie still has it. Because I still don't really know much. Yeah.
There also is a lot of actors who and musicians and people that don't have any sort of social media or anything like that.
Yeah.
I used to tweet all the time, like, funny things that came into my head, and I thought, sick, I'm a funny guy, man. And, you know, I'd get a lot of response from me just being, you know, witty quips and that. And I was like, and then I found myself deleting them if I wasn't getting enough retweets.
Yes. 100%.
And then I'm like, what is going on? I've just spent half an hour
thinking of whether you should.
Yeah. And then thinking of something, phrasing it, then deleting it, and then doubting myself.
Yeah.
And then just feel like bathing in a in a cocoon of shame.
Yeah. And then you have someone taking a picture of their latte and it gets 7,000 retweets. And you're like, what is this?
I'd just rather not. I think I'd just rather go read a book in the garden.
Yeah. I've sat on a picture for nearly 4 days and been like, maybe it's Apple. Maybe I'll post it at this time.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll post it at this time. No, it's gone too late. No, my analytics tell me that no one is looking at me at this time.
Yeah, you know, it's mad, like, isn't it?
Then I'm like, what am I saying right now? Yeah. Who am I talking to? And what am I saying?
Do you know this is our life.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but that's me, and I can imagine there is millions of people who have done similar things, and it's just like a norm. We're becoming very normal. I can remember watching a show where this kid killed himself because he couldn't take the perfect selfie.
Oh my God.
He took like thousands and thousands of pictures every day because he couldn't take the perfect selfie.
Were you saying this is real or just
No, this is real.
What?
I'm not making this up.
I didn't know if it was a fictional TV show. It sounded like a Black Mirror episode.
That's what I'm saying. It does feel very Black Mirror. We're living in a very Black Mirror state right now.
Yeah.
I think once you're living in it, you don't really see it, but in reality, it is. It's just that we don't have flying cars. That's the only thing that's different.
I think that's a universal sign of the future.
Elon Musk is not doing that now, so we just need to understand.
Elon Musk is a scary guy.
But he's building them underneath the ground. Have you heard about that?
No.
He wants to build a tunnel underneath LA, because he said that building at the top is just like, it's just going to be a disaster. So he's planned. You can see online that he's building these tunnels that can get you from one side of LA to the airport in under 12 minutes.
Right.
Wow.
So
I get pissed off when I have to queue at the airport to check in and at security anyway.
Yeah.
How ridiculous is that queue, that same queue, going to be if every dickhead waits until 12 minutes before their plane takes off,
right,
just to get to the airport?
Ridiculous.
See, I don't trust Elon Musk, full stop. Like, I know I probably shouldn't even talk about it because I'm genuinely frightened of him. The only thing in the world that frightens me more than cockroaches is Elon Musk.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Why are you afraid of him?
He's just a scary supervillain that could potentially fuck us up and probably fuck aliens up too. That scares me even more.
What's Trump's one called? Space Force.
The Space Force.
He's like,
I saw people chanting it. That's right.
Like as defense?
Yeah, as a defense in space.
But we still haven't said anything about aliens yet.
Yeah. Nothing about aliens. That does make me wonder a little bit whether they know something that we don't.
Well, there's you can always look at like old CIA like documents and stuff like that of people saying that they saw flying saucers and people said,
I don't believe we're the only things.
Yeah, there's so many people that are pilots that have just said, yeah, you know, we've seen loads of shit come out of the sky that no one can explain. You know, we were doing this drive to Monument Valley, like Grand Canyon. I haven't actually spoken about this shit on the podcast, so this is brand new. This is interesting information, I hope, for everyone at home or in their gym. We were going to Monument Valley and driving through the desert, and we stopped in a town called Needles for the night in a sick casino. It was fucking great. They had like their fake beach and all sorts. But as we got there, we were driving through the desert. There was no street lights. There was no nothing. We were on a weird back route and there was no one around. And we saw a fucking meteorite come out of the sky. It was huge. It was too big to be a firework. It was too, like, it wasn't a flare. There was no one around. The angle it came at was just, like, fucking ridiculous. And we saw it hit the sky and then, like, break up, like, above us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds crazy.
Fucking ridiculous. We literally had to stop the car, man. It was fucking crazy.
Yeah, that's to stop the car.
Mad.
But that happened in, I can't remember, it was in Russia, where, like, an intense piece of light that just, like, went straight through a street.
What I don't understand is people that argue against like why aliens don't exist, right? They're just like, how does it benefit?
Bible.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, that's probably why. Yeah, that's probably why. I suppose people are scared of admitting. It's the same thing when they, you know, like, I mean, what do they get from it? Like by going, no, you see that big thing outside of our planet? Well, it's really empty. There's just nothing there. It's,
don't think too big.
Don't think too big. Yeah.
It's like we know what the boundary is, and listen to us because we know that there is nothing out there, so there's nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah.
They always say that there's nothing to be afraid of. It's like,
and there's nothing else to believe in.
It's like,
it's
not like you make films
in.
About something coming down to get us. You know, like we've never seen anything that doesn't appear out of the blue.
Yeah.
And sucks people up.
Something new.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Interstellar was a good film for me. Like, that really got my mind like really thinking, like there is other dimensions where this conversation is going off but at a different time.
Yeah.
There's just infinite amounts of them.
Sliding doors.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Gwyneth Paltrow was right all along.
I know, man. Good old Gwyneth.
Shit. Yeah, that does freak me out. You know, I like to think that in all dimensions I would have, you know, picked like, the right trainers. Maybe I
wore a blue hat, wore a red hat.
Yeah, exactly. You would wear, you wouldn't be wearing your really fetching Neil Diamond tour t-shirt.
Do you know what I mean? I just had to bring Neil out.
Crack out Neil.
Yeah.
So are you a music guy, Kian?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what type of music? I know this sounds like a first date question, but, you know, I want to know all the same.
I listen to just about everything.
Yeah.
I started making a little bit of music about 2 years ago.
Oh, shit. Okay.
The last film I did was with RZA. He directed it.
What?
It's called Cutthroat City.
Right. I had a question. I just saw that on IMDb today.
And he's...
Is he directing it?
Directed it. Yeah, yeah. And it's a heist. It's a young heist film.
Sick.
Some awesome actors, Terrence Howard, T.I. signed on, Wesley Snipes, just a badass cast.
Oh, that sounds sick.
And I have cornrows and tattoos all over my neck. But it was so cool, just kind of, I was a big fan of Wu-Tang Clan growing up, and 36 Chambers was kind of like the first like real rap album that I'd listened to from start to finish.
It's a great choice.
And when I met him, when we go out sometimes on the weekend, I'd get into his car and he'd just be blasting some like Wu-Tang shit, and that was just so cool.
So
like, listening to Wu-Tang,
he listens to his own stuff.
Well, it's stuff because, you know, Wu-Tang family is so big now, so it's just Wu-Tang Clan. Like, there's just some new guys that they that he signed right. that he's recently been producing on, and just I mean, he's just epic that wow. dude. But yeah, I mean, I mean,
casually going out with RZA, that's sick.
Yeah,
where was this being filmed?
New Orleans.
Okay,
so we had a blast.
Sick.
Yeah, we had a blast.
And so, what kind of music are you making?
Like more instrumental okay. kind of stuff. I started like using BT. Ableton. Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
I want to hear that.
I'll show
we'll
you.
We'll trade up.
Yeah.
All right. Dope. That's very sick.
Yeah.
And you, because you've, before we cut for the first half, because it's gone so quickly, the first half already, that's really crazy. Upsetting. You've done shitloads of collaborations, man.
Yeah.
Obviously the biggest one being, DJ Snake.
Yeah.
That went to top a lot of charts, right?
Yeah, I think it did like top 20 US, 10 here. I mean, top 10 UK.
Yeah.
And then like France, pretty much a lot of places around the world, that song just did
bits.
Massive bits. Just like so all massive bits. And then like, I don't know, there's a couple of tunes with this guy called Griffin that I really like. I'm on the new Gaika album.
Yeah.
Gaika's album is dropping, so yeah. I'm excited for that. I've been on both his albums, so
yeah.
I enjoy that, like the other side of myself just be able to come out.
Bit more left field. And,
yeah. It's like the box is as big or small as you make it, isn't it? It's like if you say yourself that you can only go in this particular thing, then
we'd never have David Bowie.
That's what I'm saying, man.
Yeah. I saw one.
I've been writing for a couple of people as well, but I can't say until they put it out, because if they don't put it out, I'm just going to be the guy that just said, blah, blah, blah. That's it. Happen, so I got to wait for that.
Because I saw you did, Wikipedia told me you did a record with Lil Yachty.
Yeah, man. Like, Wikipedia, you have to take it with a pinch of salt.
Yeah.
The lot on Wikipedia that doesn't is not correct. Like, okay. I don't know Lil Yachty. Says I made a lot of songs. If that makes people feel happy, I made a song with Lil Yachty. I love
that song you made with Lil Yachty. That's my favourite one. That's one of yours.
It's a good way to catch people out, though. They'd be exactly. We like your music. Do you like the song I did with Lil Yachty? Like, yeah, it's great. Like,
it's crazy.
Of course it's
crazy. Yeah, crazy. Love that.
Great.
And so do you find it's easier out here to connect with, I guess, just artists in general? I mean, Lil Yachty.
Obviously.
Just people like, you know, who are around.
I feel like people here are a lot more open because everyone's come here for the same reasons.
Mm.
They're here to
eat tacos, yeah.
Expand, and are open to collaboration.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a perfect line to end the first half of the Thanks for Trying podcast. Yeah. So yeah, in the halftime, discussing obviously things that we can't fully discuss completely.
Yes.
But I think right at the end that you made a really interesting point is whether you can separate the art from the artist, knowing especially in 2018 times where a lot of our heroes, former heroes, have now come out of as being absolute weird dickheads. So
that's the best way to put it.
You know, what else can you say? They're just dickheads. Really weird, horrible, rapey dickheads.
Yeah.
So, and I struggle with this all the time. I know we literally just mentioned Tarantino. I'm not going to ask you to say anything about directors or actors. Don't worry.
No worries.
But like that, you know, that is, you know, I'll say it because I don't give a shit. But like, I felt a way about it. I felt weird about Tarantino. I read about the article by Uma Thurman and like how he'd forced her to drive that car that was rickety, and then she ended up getting in a crash and then like permanently injuring her
for
back
Kill Bill, right?
For Kill Bill. Yeah. And like, you know, the abuse of power that he did, and then his relationship with Weinstein, like, you know, that was interesting tail end of the conversation. Right. Welcome back to the second half of the Thanks for Trying podcast. Because it's tradition, I've roped Mr. Sunshine,
of course,
into the shot. So we're just gonna do these quick shots because it's tradition, and
okay, you gotta keep up tradition.
Cheers. They're only tiny, tiny little shots. As it's season two, I've got a new thing that I do. Obviously, Ken, you saw a lot episode from the last season, so you didn't see the segments. These are a new thing.
New stuff.
This is new. This is new. Right. New material.
Special features.
Special features. You know, very important features. I think this one is called Under the Patio. It's I broke it down earlier, but for the fans at home, this is a section where I suggest scenarios, types of people, things that these people do, that really, really piss me off on a day-to-day basis, and it is for my intrepid guests to decide the type of punishment that comes to them, yeah, that is bestowed upon them, that is bequeathed. Okay, so I got a couple ones here. People that post photos of half-bitten food on social media.
I'm so happy that's your first one.
Okay. I like to start easy. I like to go in, you know.
What was in?
I don't think I've ever seen that.
You haven't seen it? You know where people take a bite of that? Look, I'm at so-and-so getting a cronut, and they take a big bite of the cronut, and then they take a photo, and it's like a half-eaten thing.
And you... Does that itch you off?
It really pisses me off because I'm seeing saliva in there. Okay. I'm seeing the imprint of their teeth. I'm like, I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
If you're all right, because fair enough, if you've got a knife and fork and you've put that cronut down and you're
sliced
like
it.
Sliced it in a manner of a pizza, I'm like, okay, cool. All right, I've seen the interior. Fine, but now I'm imagining like some weird shit. It's gross,
I think,
right?
That is pretty gross.
Yeah,
but I feel like anytime I ever see that, I just skip it.
You skip it, yeah.
As soon as people start showing me like meals,
yeah,
I don't.
Because I don't. I don't like food.
It's of
photos.
No interest to me to see. Even what even you food had to photos.
Because I like looking for food photos. You know, yeah. I like seeing what. Like, oh, I need to check out that spot. I need to go eat there or something like that.
Yeah.
That's not too bad.
Yeah.
But what do you think? Like the punishment should be for people posting their fresh saliva, essentially. onto Instagram, because I personally I wouldn't bury them under the patio per se, but maybe I'd chop off a finger for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Most people just taking away their Instagram would just, just ruin their lives. They'd cut off their own finger.
Just cut off the Instagram.
Just okay. You know what? That you're right.
Disable the search and add button on Instagram. They're
you
just, so
effed off. You should just like, label all those photos as inappropriate anyway.
Yes. Yes. Now we're talking. Yeah. So we're talking. The punishment is mentally and emotionally decapitating them.
You need to get them on where it hurts.
Get them where it hurts. They won't give a shit if you cut their foot off.
No. If they foot off, they'll take a picture of it. no foot.
No, but look at this. Like this. This guy just took my foot off, man. This is sick.
Because you see that when people like have fights, like, man, I've just had a fight.
Yeah.
And their faces are beaten up and bruised. You're like, yo, why are you on Insta Live?
Don't do it. I'll just put it away.
Why are you on live right now? This doesn't make sense. Like, yo, I just had a fight. My face is all bloodied up. I'm like,
no.
All right, well, wipe your face. We all don't need to see this.
Get off your phone.
Do you know what kind of ticks me off a little bit about the phone situation? Here's what I'm going to say is that when things really do happen and then you want like sincerity, then everyone, it's the call between like when someone of our culture, what do people feel away if you do post or if you don't post?
Yep.
Where do you fall between that? Because I had a good argument with my friend the other day because he told me recently that... once someone had passed away, that this girl has said to him that why are you not showing respect by posting him? But he was like, but I didn't know this person.
Yeah.
I know of someone. After when Avicii passed away, he posted a cover like 2 days afterwards, and then every day saying, check out my Avicii tribute video, which obviously just gets him views.
Yikes. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about stuff like that. I've only ever posted about one death, and that's Bourdain. And that's purely because I fucking love Bourdain. And I was literally just in the middle of watching Parts Unknown when he sadly passed away recently. So I do understand if you are a diehard fan of somebody's, that surely you're going to do like a tribute. You might write a nice something. You know, totally understandable. People do get hurt about these things. But, you know, there is a line which is crossed very frequently with these things when it seems exploitative of a dead person. Like, and it also seems exploitative of people that genuinely cared about that person and that person's life. You know, when a friend of mine passed away, I didn't post anything. I didn't want to talk about it. I just didn't want to I just left it. And I was like, you know, I'm going to deal with this in my own time. You know what I mean?
feel you.
And I think when I was over it, I just put a photo on Instagram, like, you know, for my friends that all knew her. She was my housemate. You know what I mean? So I think that was fine. But I've had, like, people screen grabbing texts that they'd had with people that had died and all of this shit. And I started to think, man, when I'm dead, I really hope no one screen grabs the texts I'd send them. Because I say a lot of shit.
Yeah.
I say a lot of awful stuff.
Okay, yes, cool.
Look at this.
Dale
look at
really
the text
me.
I had over the Dale confirming his podcast attendance.
Okay.
He yes. said, cool, I'll cool. be there in five.
He really meant it. This he, really,
okay. he meant everything he
meant
said.
Said.
All right, so, okay, so the that first one is it's a very light punishment. If and I'm going to delete punishment. That. Very light punishment, very but we light. Take. We hit him where it hurts in online.
Yeah.
It's probably will hurt more when we don't actually have a physical body anymore.
Yeah.
And we just have an online presence. People, another one for social media, people that say today's office and then post a photo of them on the beach.
Yeah, that's pretty lame.
How lame is that? Yeah. Is that another one of just deleting, going in, do a full Sandra Bullock in the net and delete their entire online
self? Yeah, I feel like we have to hit
no,
them
that's,
mentally.
You plant drugs on them at that beach and then they have to go to prison in whatever country they're in.
Great idea. Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah, great idea. Or make them, I don't know, make them work on the beach, maybe. If they're saying this is their office,
put a full
go
desk
to work. Yeah,
work on this beach, though,
go to work.
Work.
Clean up, recycle. Go around and pick up all the fucking trash. Get to work.
Do something.
Personally, I would kill them. But that's just me. I'm. You know, the more and more I do this segment in all the episodes, the more I realize how much of a hateful person I am. Okay. All right, people. Who send WhatsApp broadcasts.
Irritating.
What is that?
All right, Americans don't use WhatsApp, right?
Well, I mean, I use WhatsApp to speak to the
international crew. Okay.
Oh, it's very like it's like they send out mass messages to everyone.
Yeah.
When sometimes it has nothing to do with you, but you're just like blasted. I'm okay with getting blasted I'm okay to get blasted on like Facebook,
yeah.
On things that are like, I know you just clicked on Snapchat and you just sent me a thing, but on WhatsApp, like, it's personal.
Yeah.
Don't send me this. Yeah. And I think they should get WhatsApp taken away.
Yep. You're very kind. Both of you are very kind with your punishments today.
WhatsApp taken away. They have to go to a prison in El Salvador.
And then what happens to them there?
What happens to them there?
It's not my problem. Okay.
To El Salvador, but they need to go to a prison in El Salvador for a good week.
Mm. I'm always known with my friend group whenever any group chat is set up. The first thing is usually like, hey, a party's happening. I'll know where the party is, screenshot it, and then I will immediately take myself out of it. Kian left the Kian left the conversation. Oh, yeah. And they're like, you're a dick.
I'm key to that.
That's all I need to know. I'll see you at the party. Don't need to talk to you.
Because you've just been given the information, and why do you need to hear everyone like hyping up the situation? Like, I know where it's at.
Yeah.
And what else do I need to know about?
No, and you know who should go under the patio? The people that reply to that entire conversation going, hey man, how are you? They need to just be dead.
Well, people use that as like sometimes as a formal conversation.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll mention about like, yeah, I'm coming.
Yeah.
And then someone will be like, so Dale, so what are you doing? I'm just like, kind of online, so I can't pretend I'm not. But I'm like,
nope.
But I don't really want to talk about it. So
let's not talk about it. just get under the patio.
Just send them loads of emoji rockets.
Yeah. Just reply with unsubscribe. Yeah, that's it. Or
Adele has left.
Yeah. New number. Who this? Okay. All right. You guys have been really nice about it. Okay. A lot of these. There's an online theme to these questions today. Okay. I don't always
someone's
do
ticked
that.
You off online.
Someone's just.
You need to reveal the name.
You know who you are. You know who you are. I'm coming for you. You know what? But I'm going to take it out of the online realm. Okay. I'm going to bring it to reality right now. People who don't thank you when you open a door for them, I would hunt them down. I'd place a tracker on them.
Well, you know what's sad though? You know what's sad? That happens more. My dad's from England, and I've spent a lot of time there.
Yeah.
in England, I feel like when it's just it's a customary, people will say yeah. thank you. That's what I've
yeah.
known.
Yeah.
In America, people just walk right in.
They walk right in.
Yeah.
Sometimes even when you're just opening the door for yourself. Then all of a sudden, yeah. Then all of no, yeah, that's
really close behind
all of,
you.
All of a sudden, someone's just whipped in,
yeah.
And I'm like, "What the fuck?" And then there's 10 kids walking in, and it's yeah. like, you know, no us being British, we can have an entire conversation filled with sorries,
yeah, yeah.
And that makes sense to us,
yeah.
Over here, like we say sorry, and people are confused. I think a lot of people don't know the word sorry in America.
Like, I can agree with that.
Just
don't even know.
But for different places, I think like. Opening the doors is like, it's just manners. And if yeah. people don't have manners, then you know, yeah. rat poisoning in the food.
Yeah. Okay.
Depending
good.
On where we're at.
So you put a tracker on them. You tracker, find out when they're where they're
rat
eating.
Poisoning.
Rat poisoning.
Send someone round to the house to knock on the door, looking like It the Clown.
Yeah. Totally while they're dying, out. Really slowly.
But as they think they're gonna go out the back door, there's yeah. someone at the back door with like. Couple of hounds. You know, you're like, I'm trying to just take it
yeah,
there.
Yeah, no, this is great. I like it. This is what I'm into.
Yeah, this is what I'm into.
Or like, you just wait until she once you let her in the door, you wait until she leaves and then yeah, just yeah. wet all the floor. So ooh, when you open the door yeah. for a second time.
Yeah, yeah. You give her a second chance.
That's smart.
Yeah. Like seven,
she says, thank
like,
you. Oh.
I don't like you, but I'm going to give you a second chance to second say chance. It. And if you don't say it on you, like as you're about to die,
yeah,
you know.
I have the antidote.
You'll have here. The antidote.
It's the antidote. It's right here. It's, say sorry.
Pour down her neck with oil. And then let
leave
he
or
the trail
she. He or she.
Like yes. Give her like a message and say, if you answer this question correct, I will light this match and light you up right
whoa.
Now.
Put her in phone booth like Colin Farrell
ooh,
in the phone booth.
That's what
and
I'm
say, if you hang up and leave the phone booth, you'll go get without film, saying sorry.
That film was annoying, man.
That film was so...
I felt like it was meant to be really good.
Yeah.
It felt like
the trailer was good.
That's what I'm saying. The trailer got
yeah.
me. I was watching, I was like,
He's still in the phone booth.
Yeah.
I feel like I feel like I was expecting it, but I was hoping it wouldn't be the case.
Yeah. Kind of like Snakes on the Plane.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I get it. Like,
the clue is in the title.
There's way too many snakes on this plane. I love to be real.
And the fault is only ours. Like, it's like, our fault for
like,
going into
did
the
I believe
cinema.
That anything else was going to happen except thousands of snakes. Don't know how they even got through customs.
How did they get through customs? Very, very good point. Okay, I'm gonna delete that one. I feel like, you know, it's good.
I'm just trying
good
to take
headway
it to a
with
whole
this.
New level.
No, please, yeah. It's fine. It, then I feel
I just like knowing what pisses you off,
mate. Yeah. There's a lot of them, and bear in mind, I have new ones every episode. So there's a lot. There's like between 5 and 10 new ones yeah, every episode. okay, so is I mean, you'll like this one. People who stick their chewed gum. Underneath tables.
Death.
Yeah, yeah. Right, thank you. I've found your limit.
Yeah, that's
and
it.
And it is gum.
You know what's even worse? When it's under a chair.
Yeah.
And you go to like adjust your chair and you get just a handful.
That's
I almost think what could be even worse is on the ground. I think when people spit their gum on the ground, because that happens to me more and you step on it, you're just like...
Yeah.
I've stuck chewing gum underneath the table a few times and I've had like a very like moment where I've been like, damn, what? Why did you do that? Maybe you should just go back and just take that off. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like...
I think that'd be a really good movie premise. Like someone who wakes up one day just with intense guilt, like profound guilt about all the gum they've stuck around the world and they just have to go and repair.
It's just disgusting. It is disgusting.
It's horrible, yeah, man. Gross. Yeah, instant under
instant
the
death.
I think they should be buried in the history of their own gum. Yeah.
Ooh,
and their entire gum catalogue.
That sounds semi like hell.
Yeah.
Like all the times they ever did it, now
that's
the
it.
Gum
covered in those gums, yeah,
stuffed down their throat.
Oh my god! there's something just horrific about gum, like the chewed gum, right? Like even if it's just fresh out of a mouth, even your own mouth,
even
it's
sharing
still
gums,
gross.
A bit.
Yeah,
like my girl does it sometimes. I don't mind it, but I'm always like. It's always wet.
Yeah, it's gross.
It's like wet for
it's like immediate, as soon as it comes out.
Yeah, someone goes, do you want to share a chewing gum? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not 100%. I'll take it. Yeah. But
will
never,
you be upset if I don't? Like, that's the question.
At that point, there's no flavor. It's just a chew toy.
Yeah, yeah. It's a gross. I don't want to let you down, but it's like I don't really want this right
it's
now.
It's 90% saliva.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah.
It's like 5% rubber or whatever the fuck chewing gum's made out of. And the rest of it is the remnants of things that person has eaten that day.
Yeah,
God,
it's
that's
not cool.
Awful, man. It's not like, cool. That is just... Oh, those people, man. Who does... I want to know who's doing it. Because there's a lot of gum. There's a lot of gum under chairs and tables. Look, I've committed the crime of throwing it on the street before. I have done. But never on the pavement. I always try and go in the curb. You know, just so I kill fish with it when it goes to the ocean. But I don't necessarily get on anyone's nice trainers.
Just kidding.
Just fish. It's fine.
Fish is okay, but new TNs are not.
You can't fuck up the new kicks.
Okay.
So maybe I need to go onto the patio for that. I don't know. I'm fine. All right, we'll do one more before we go into the next segment. I mean, let me see. Let me see what the best one is. Let's see what I think you guys will be really angry at. Okay. People. People who ask you how your food is while your mouth's full. I don't know how, why I even think of these things.
That is funny.
That's pretty funny though. Cause
yeah, I do get that a lot. I feel like that's also a very California thing as well.
Yeah.
The waiter always seems to pick the exact time right when you're
as soon as you get it.
Yeah.
Like you literally, they've just put the plate down. It's warm. You're like, okay, sick. I'm going to go in. I'm so hungry. Take the first bite. And as the food enters your mouth, the waiter or waitress comes over to you guys. How's your food?
You're like,
just now I'm not enjoying it. Mm. Thanks.
I think when they ask that question, you should projectile vomit.
like exorcist.
Yeah, yeah, just straight exorcist, projectile vomiting, and everything just comes straight out at them. That's what they should get.
Because they mean well. Look, they want to know how your food is. They want to tick a box that their manager's told them they have to do.
It's all about the tip game.
Yeah.
I find the most itching thing is queuing.
Do you mean lining
getting
up?
Getting a queue to buy food and then... Which is just what you normally do in a shop in America. And then somehow they're looking at me funny because I didn't leave a tip.
Wait, you have to tip in the supermarket?
No, but like I went to a certain shop and it's like it comes up saying as I paid for it, it says 15, 20, 30%. I'm like, but this is just a shop. You just work here. I don't understand why you should.
And then you feel really guilty when you don't tip.
Like I didn't give them a tip.
Yeah.
But I'm like, is that an English thing? Or an American thing that we... Because in England, it's not really like that.
No,
but in America, I feel like it's very much... Because I think a lot of people get paid more on their tips.
Yeah, well, the hard thing is like people who do delivery, like Postmates and stuff like that. Yeah. Because it's... You know, the only reason you tip someone a certain amount is based off of customer service.
Right.
Yeah. But Postmates is everyone just wants their food. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they want to look at you for 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. You want to grab the food and then you want to go. And so it's so hard sometimes for them to be looking at you with such a smile and you don't, you know, you're like, you did great, but should I, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's a tough one. I find it really tough, especially with the Postmates guys. I'm always like, great job, but like, you said you're going to be here 7 minutes ago.
Yes. What I like to do now with Postmates and Uber Eats and all of them is I like to go outside and when I see their car pulling up, meet them at the car so they have to hand me it through the window. And that way,
that's smart.
I'm just like, oh shit, I'm in a rush, man. Thank you so much. And then run away.
Interesting.
I don't understand the logic.
Because that way, I don't feel so weird that I'm not tipping them. It's like basically all I'm trying to do is avoid that weird social interaction where I've got some random guy stood at my door
with puppy eyes, like,
"Hello, I mean, it's time for a tip." And I'm like, "I've paid so much money for this to be delivered. This is like, I'm not giving you, you know, any. It's really bad. It's a horrible thing, but." Yeah, okay, so I go onto the patio for that. Awful. All right, well, thank you very much, guys, for that first segment. And I'm going to move into the second segment, which it changes every episode, the name of it, okay? But the sentiment's the same. Today, I like to call it a selection of very quick fire but very important questions for humanity. Okay.
Great.
Okay. So these are really just important ones. You know, it's not angry. It's just things I need to know. Okay. Who still calls sex chat lines? And also, I was thinking about it. Like, back in the day, we used to have this advert in England that used to be like, oh, what is it? 08 45 50 50 50. And that was like, you know, that was the thing. It was on TV late at night, right? It's the sex chat line. Who still calls those? You know, part one. Part two of the question is, who still buys porn DVDs? Is it like a thing that you're getting just in case of the apocalypse?
Just in case the internet doesn't work.
Yeah, just in case.
I don't know who's going that deep to buy the DVDs, but for some reason they are still must be selling.
They've got to be selling because someone's printing them up.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're still printing them.
So I guess it's a question. That's a question.
It's just a gag gift now.
A dad gift. Yeah,
yeah, it's kind of a gift now. It's kind of a joke.
I guess
I have a story about a chat line.
Okay.
When I was 14, I think 13 or 14 years old.
Yeah.
I think I, you know what's funny? I think I was on Facebook. Yeah. This is when I right before I deleted it. Mm. I ended up getting hacked, and that's why I didn't go to it. But there was this number, and there was a cute girl on it, mm-hmm. and they were like called a chat, and I didn't know any of this was. Mm. I'm sure I had an idea. Yeah.
the slight idea.
Yeah,
I thought it was someone who wanted to be friends. Okay.
Yeah. And I called, and they were like, for a preview, press 1 or 2, and so I listened. Yeah. You know, these girls talking dirty on the phone, yeah. And then I get a call after that. And it's this guy being like, you didn't put your credit card information in, and starts screaming at me on the phone. And then I'm like, I remember being like so scared and being like, yeah. I'm 13 years old. I just moved to, I think I was in Chicago at the time.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. He's like, well, you better put the credit card information in the, and I remember having this whole phone conversation then getting off the phone and then telling my dad or my mom.
Oh, bless.
Because I thought, because he was like, we know where you live.
Yeah.
And all these things when I was like 13, 14 years old, but now knowing I was on some funny little chat line. I'm sure the guy was just taking the piss anyway because I didn't pay.
Shit.
That's jokes.
I was trying to get that double trial.
Yes.
That's it.
Little did he know, you just wanted to talk to a grown man.
Yes. Yeah.
You got what you want. No, bless you for a bit, you know, for actually telling your dad. Like, I think that's a sign of having good parents that you can be honest with.
That's
because
true.
I feel like if you provide an environment for your kids, they can't just be honest when they fuck up.
Yeah.
Then you're doing parenting wrong.
Yes.
Because kids always fuck up.
Oh yeah.
Standard. You're always gonna fuck up, man. Like I remember when I you know, when I first started smoking what we have in England, skunk, right? So like the strongest fucking weed. And I smoked skunk and it was far too strong for me. And like it fucked me up. And I just had to go and see my mum and I was like 12 years old or something. I was like, I just smoked some shit. It was too strong, man. I'm freaking out. And my mum was like, that's okay. That's all right. Come and chill out and da da da. And also, have you still got some left? And then my parents would be, you know what
I mean? That's fire.
So like, but you know, I felt like I was in a safe enough environment that I could be freaking out and anxious and whatever it be and try drugs. I think that when I have kids, I'm going to say to my kids, you know what I mean? I know it's a different thing because, you know, you're a parent yourself, but when you have kids, it's different to the people that say when I have kids. You know, because we've got no fucking
I definitely want to like be like really open about the things that they want to say. I can remember my mom used to just give all my friends condoms.
Yeah.
Condoms and a Kit Kat. They used to come to my house and she used to be like, look, I know you're gonna go and have sex.
Yeah. Just do it safe.
Just be cool with it. And I think from there, like when I was having to like try things, like I would just say like I've done this and she'd understand.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the best relationship to have.
And you get a Kit Kat out of the deal. So.
And you get a Kit Kat. Do you know what I mean? Forget the condom, man. Not the small ones as well, like a 4-piece. I was a bit pissed, like they were from the cupboard, you know, like they weren't meant to be mine.
Yeah.
Sharing them out.
Fucking hell. But also, if you had no idea about sex and you got offered a Kit Kat and a condom, you would think that that was a two-piece operation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You think that is
like, so how the Kit Kat and then like put this on at the same time.
Put a Kit Kat in the condom. I don't know what's going on.
Like, it could have got confusing.
It could have got very confusing.
Sex education back then was just a joke.
A proper joke. It was a banana.
It's just ridiculous. You know,
and especially giving a banana to prepubescent boys.
And then I feel like, you know what I mean?
And also, that's making a lot of kids feel inadequate at a very young age.
Yeah. I felt stupid. I was like, what am I doing?
Yeah, no.
Why am I fucking putting this condom on some fucking banana?
It's ridiculous. Stupid. Yeah.
And I mean, the video was like, not porn, it was just like some like sketchy video of two people kind of having sex. She's like, what are they doing? Yeah. We've all watched porn right now, so we all know what the game is, but you've got like, these two people like, and as you slowly can snap. What? Jenna Jameson wasn't doing that.
No. Jenna Jameson. I would love to get her as a guest on my podcast.
Yeah, if you got Jenna Jameson, that would be so fun.
That would be so
She's
sick.
Just like legit.
Yeah.
Like,
but yeah, I think what I'm going to do is tell my kids that they can try any drug that they want, but at age 18, when their brains are fully formed, not like me, doing it too young and fucking me up, and doing it at 18 and do it in the house, and let me buy it for them so that I can get the good quality shit, you know what I mean, and make sure they're not doing some stuff, and I'll get the test kit, make sure it's pure, and then make sure they're doing it properly, you know, and maybe that takes the fun out of it, who knows, but I want them to, for the first time, to understand what they're doing. When you criminalize it and make people really like feel like it's a secretive thing, that it becomes problematic. That's my that's my monologue for the day. At what point does the messiness involved in eating a food make it not worth eating the food?
Sometimes it's like a drug. You're like you see the ribs in front of you and you just have to finish it.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter how messy it is.
But I'm pretty OCD about that. Like there's been multiple times in my life where I have had a rack of ribs with a knife and fork.
No.
I know that's sinful. I know that's so sinful. But there's only so many wet wipes I can put on my hands.
True.
Until I'm using a fork now.
Some ribs are super gelatinous that you have to use the knife and fork. So I do believe that.
Yeah, a rack of ribs is like hands get involved, then you're a bit like, all right. Maybe I need to take this out though.
Yeah.
Get the knife and fork. So I get in the best bits.
My dad would always say that's the best date you can take a girl to. Get some ribs to see if they'll actually just go all in and eat the ribs.
That's so true. What do you do? She just goes all in though. She's really fine. And I'm just going hammered the ribs.
Yeah.
She's not too dainty, and she just goes in on the ribs. You know that she's the one.
Yeah, respect for that.
That's a great date.
I went to a rib place in London when I was there last. It was where I was staying. I don't even remember where I was staying.
Shoreditch.
It was just this. It was like an American. There's even a competition that you can do.
Oh, Red Dog.
I think so.
Yeah. How did I know it was Red Dog Saloon? Red Dog. Yeah. So a friend of mine, Big Lou. He's a good friend of mine. He did the hot wing competition.
Oh gosh!
Yeah, and he won it, and he was on the wall as being the champion of the hot wing competition. And he's like, he's a tall guy. He's like 6 foot, 10 foot, however tall. And he finished this thing. And I said to him afterwards, I was like, a few days later, I was like, how was it, man? He goes, oh yeah, you know, I mean, it was really hot. Like, and I was like, yeah, okay, cool. And he goes, I was on the toilet for like 2 whole days.
Wow.
So I think,
is it worth it?
Even if your face is used to chili, you know.
Yeah.
Your body.
Who also is on that wall, or I don't, probably isn't anymore, but I went there when I was shooting, and Rick Yoon, I don't know if you know who that is. He's the Asian guy in Fast and Furious. He's also in Die Another Day.
Right.
007. And he's just such an interesting, intricate man. Chews ginger root, like just carries ginger around. Like this dude is badass.
Super healthy.
He did like the crazy barbecue. Like you had
wing,
to eat
spice.
Ooh. You had to eat like a thing of fries with it too.
See,
like,
it's the fries chips, which let you down, man.
Just
the
like
fries
all those
and
potatoes,
the bread,
like get out of here.
And the milkshake. Like I once DJ'd at this fast food eating competition. In a venue in London somewhere.
Sick.
And you just play records in between people just doing horrible things to themselves. And the first round was burgers. It's pretty easy. Everyone was boxing off burgers left, right and center. You know, ate fucking loads of them. fine. Fries came out, piles of fries. They were competing, eating these fries like crazy. The third round was milkshakes. The moment he's... when the milkshakes came out, bro, projectile vomiting. People were filling like fucking dustbins with their vomit, man. It was like...
Does it count if you throw it up?
No, they get disqualified straight away. The one, the guy that everyone threw up, the guy that won, some guy, his name was actually Tiny. Hilarious. Some huge guy. It's classic. You can't write this shit. His name was Tiny. And he literally just won purely because he held it down long enough until he was the last one left.
How many milkshakes are we talking about?
Oh, I mean, there was a tray of milkshakes per person. People were just having to down them. And he got, I think he just downed it, enough of them. Everyone else had puked up. And then he was like, the winner, Tiny. And then he turns around and just...
Horrible.
So interesting.
Why? I just don't understand.
We went from gladiators to food eating competitions. What has happened?
Do you know what? It's a case for why robots should take over. You know
yeah.
Once they have the power, they'll say, you guys are idiots.
Yeah.
These are off.
Or maybe they'll just start eating. They'll eat, you know.
They'll eat humans.
Yeah.
That's it.
Human eating competitions by Google.
Yeah. Would Alexa do that? I don't think she would.
That's the question you need to ask yourself.
Yeah.
Before you do something stupid, like, would Alexa do that?
Okay, we'll bust out one more of these questions. A little quick one first. Who's your favorite Jennifer? I always wanted to ask you. Lawrence. Okay, Swift with the Lawrence. I teeter on the edge of Lopez, but sometimes Garner.
Or, I need to take my back, Connolly for sure.
Okay. Connolly. Wait, wasn't Jennifer...
She was in the film?
Yeah. Okay.
So you can imagine how I felt the first time I met her.
Just gassed.
Yeah, she's just the coolest. Just to know that she spent months with Bowie was kind of like the coolest.
I didn't know that.
For Labyrinth.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Oh my God, she was
And that
a
was
kid.
Like her first
she
thing.
She was a kid in Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Fuck.
From that and then into Requiem for a Dream. Holy.
Brutal, crap. Man. Brutal. I could never watch that film again. It's a one viewing film. You watch it, it changes you. Yes. It changes you.
You'll never forget it.
You're not the same person again.
Yeah.
Never watching that again, ever. It hurts too much, that film. I was in a haze for days after I watched it. I just couldn't. I felt like everything was grey and like.
Yeah. You know,
done. All right. So I've got one. Final question. This is the recurring question that I ask in every single episode. If you could eat one creature from a film or TV show, what would it be and how would you cook it? My standard answer is that really long dog from Neverending Story.
That's so funny. I thought about that.
Literally the first one. Yeah. That is the first.
For sustainability.
That could feed so many people.
Different times, I'd probably say, what's the ones in Jurassic Park that are like huge?
The brontosauruses.
Brontosauruses.
Yeah.
I think those would last me for a long time. I would slice one of those guys up.
How would you cook it?
I'd cook it like how you cook a steak.
Okay, like fry it.
Proper fry it, proper barbecue it. I think that tastes great.
And you could take sections of that brontosaurus and do it differently, and you could even have jerky.
There's so many levels of it. Its tail probably tastes like, you know, something that's a bit more like you beef.
The jowls. Yeah,
dinosaur stew.
I wonder what dinosaurs tasted like, because they're more related to birds than they are lizards.
Yeah.
So then, you know, that could just be like a giant chicken, but.
I think the best one that you wouldn't have to do a lot of work with, wouldn't have to cook much, is Pizza the Hut from Spaceballs. He's already topped
He's
up.
He's already,
you know what I mean?
Already ready. I didn't even. That's a good answer. That's a really good answer.
Although I don't know if he's good pizza or bad pizza.
You don't know.
Yeah, because there's that one point where there's just like the pepperoni just like falling off of his body.
Yeah,
I love that movie.
That is a great movie, and
I've
also
seen that twice. I think. But I think it's just such a good movie. Both times I've watched it, it's just classic.
It warrants another viewing. And also, that's what reminds that Trump speech about the Space Force just made me think of Space Force.
Spaceballs.
So much.
He's Darth Vader with the big, the massive hat.
Yeah,
you know, they're making some weird uniforms and stuff like that.
Oh man, that would be hilarious. Yeah, no, I thought about Ewoks a lot. I always thought about eating an Ewok because I thought they would be really delicious, man.
Ducks. I feel like they taste like duck.
A duck. I just said it in like your accent as well. Yeah. A duck.
A duck.
Real soft, like a duck. Yeah, you know, that's I put you on the spot there, but very good answers. All right, well, that rounds off perfectly this episode of the Thanks for Trying podcast. I'd like to thank my wonderful guests in this wonderful city of Los Angeles, Kian Johnson and Adeo, aka Bipolar Sunshine. Big up.
Thank you.
Thank you so much to Kian Johnson and Bipolar Sunshine. Big up to everyone that has subscribed and has been listening to season 2 so far. There are 6 more episodes to go, so make sure you go back, listen to the first season, and hit me up with your under the patio suggestions, because I need more reason to be pissed off. Clearly I'm not angry enough. This instrumental you're hearing right now is for a song called Wakanda Forever, featuring the legendary Bonkers, and this is taken from my latest project, Under the Patio, out now on Spotify, Apple Music, everything like that. So make sure you go and support. See you guys next week.
Peace.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.